Thank you. You may be seated. Each of Eleanor's family members and friends is very appreciative of your attendance here today. To express your sympathy to them and to assure them of your thoughts and prayers at this time. We are met together in God's presence, acknowledging His sovereignty in death as in life, and to seek His word for the comfort and challenge of our hearts. It is His word and His promise alone that brings consolation and challenge to our hearts at such a time as this. To Eleanor's husband, Tommy, daughter, Laura, Laura's husband, Stephen, their children, Caitlin and Patrick, to sons, David and Mark, David's wife, June, their children, Matthew and Jewel, Mark's daughter, Jessica, Tommy's sister, Margaret, her husband, Beatty, and their children, Gillian and Brian, and all the extended family and friends, and that will be a significant number, we assure you today of our prayers. We convey to you our sympathy. Returning to the order of service, if you have one, and it's to the opening praise, which is that famous hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. What a Privilege to Carry Everything to God in Prayer." If you don't happen to have a order of service sheet, then there will be a hymn book in front of you, and the number in the hymn book is hymn number 625. 625. But let's stand when the music plays and sing out this hymn of praise and testimony, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Immediately after this opening praise, prayer will be offered by Reverend Ian Harris, Chairman of the Mission Board, and Tommy served on that Mission Board for probably more years than he can remember. And after the prayer, there will be a tribute by Reverend Trevor Baxter, close family friend over many years, a colleague dating away back, probably before these times as well, but certainly to the times when the Martyrs' Meal Witness was going around the country taking meetings, and then after that tribute, Bible reading by Reverend Paul Foster. Let's stand together as we sing.
Thank you. Take our seats, please. Just for opening prayer on behalf of the Mission Board and the Missionary Council, I'd like to pass on our sincere Christian condolences to our brother Tommy and to his family on the loss of a dear loved one, dear partner in life, and a dear mother and grandmother. Our sister Eleanor was one of the rope holders to Queen William Carey's wonderful phrase, "For those that served God at home and abroad on the mission field," and right up to her closing days, her love and her interest was demonstrated. And even following on the little WhatsApp group we have in the mission board of what has been happening even in the mission field in Uganda over these past few weeks. So we thank God for her, and we know that one day we'll thank God with her. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Amen. Eternal God and loving Father, as we bow in thy holy and divine presence, we do so in the great name of our dear Saviour and Redeemer and Mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the friend today that we have in Jesus, who will bear all our griefs and all our sorrows and all our cares. And we come today at this service of thanksgiving and remembrance with heavy hearts as we think of the passing of a dear loved one from time out into God's great eternity. We stop to give thee thanks today for the wonderful grace of God in the life of our late sister Eleanor. We thank thee for the day in which God in his mercy reached down and saved her and transformed her by his matchless and wonderful grace. We thank thee for the sustaining grace of God in her life and for her persevering in the things of God. And we rejoice, Lord, even for her interest in the work of God at home and abroad, right up to our dying day. And Lord, we would ask today that thou wilt accept of our thanks for gifting to Tommy and to his family and to the church family one so greatly beloved. And as we thank thee today for her life, and as we magnify the grace of God in her life, we want to remember those that are left behind to mourn her passing. We thank thee that they do not mourn as those that have no hope. We thank thee for the blessed hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we thank thee that one day the circle will be complete again. And we thank thee for that day of glad reunion when the saints of God will meet in glory, never to part again. We pray for Tommy, and we pray for his family today, that the hand of the Lord would abide upon them for good. Standing somewhere in the shadows, we pray that they might know the nail-pierced hands of the blessed Saviour standing in their midst and resting upon them. We commit them to thee. We thank thee for our brother Tommy. We thank thee for his watching and waiting with his family, even over these past months, around the hospital bed and in the hospice with a dear loved one. And we pray today that thou wilt stand with him and strengthen him and enable him today. And we would ask, Lord, for those in the gathering who have no hope because they do not know Eleanor's Saviour as their Saviour. And we ask, Lord, today that thou wilt speak to them. We pray that God in his great sovereign grace will work the miracle of salvation's blessing in hearts and lives, even over this funeral service. We pray that hearts will be drawn out after thee, and that lives will be challenged by the gospel today as it is proclaimed. Bless all who will take part in this service. We pray that thou, the Spirit of God, will be their aid, that the divine anointing of the Holy Ghost would abide upon each one, and that even through our collective coming together, that honour and glory will be brought to the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is for his name and for his glory we offer our petitions today. Amen.
Before I bring a personal tribute to Eleanor, I'd like to read just a few verses from that lovely portion of Scripture in the book of Proverbs, and the last chapter. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favour is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." Amen. It is a difficult moment or two for me personally. Eleanor Gilmore, Tommy, well, they've been very close friends for nigh on 50 years. That's a long time. Indeed, Tommy sang at our wedding, and that's some 46 years ago. And it is with a sadness, humanly speaking, that I stand before you here today. And yet, within my heart and soul, there's a deep thankfulness to God. For many years ago, as a young girl, Eleanor came to Christ and was saved by the grace of God. Our friendship developed. There used to be a wee gospel group called the Livingstones, and they were all in it. And I eventually, because of my association with Mary, I was in that group too for a time. Went about the country, preaching the gospel, singing the praises of the Lord. Eleanor was a lady certainly that spoke her mind. If she didn't agree with you about some matter, she let you know. And there was occasions when she let me know, but you just have to take it. But Eleanor has known tragedy too. She lost her brother in a very serious road accident in England a big number of years ago. I was just thinking a couple of days ago that this dear soul, she made some great sacrifices in her life. We all know Tommy's great loyalty and unswerving devotion to Dr. Paisley. He went just about everywhere the doc went. We wanted to help protect him. And for Eleanor, of course, it left her at times when she was just there with the children. Difficult. But it was a sacrifice she was prepared to pay. And Tommy, very faithfully, I have to tell you that, of course, people who know him know this, served the big man all that time and would have died for him. We know that. But she did sacrifice a lot. She was, to use the language of Scripture, a virtuous woman. She was a good woman, because she was a saved woman. Faithful mother, grandmother, and wife, and to Mary and me, a good friend. I feel very honored and privileged to be here today to pay a tribute to Eleanor Gilmore. As I said to Tommy when he rang me to tell me, I said, you know, Tommy, she's spending now her first Sabbath in the glory. She has already swept through the gates of the New Jerusalem, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I know she had a great desire that all her family would be saved. Because when you're saved, you know, you're not saying goodbye to Eleanor. You're just saying goodnight. Meet again in the morning. I thank God for the memory of a friend. And praise the Lord, she is now made perfect. She suffered. I saw her suffer a few days ago when I was with her. I said, I'm going to pray with you, Eleanor. And she wanted me to do that, but she couldn't even say the words. She couldn't speak. She just nodded. But she's no pain now, you know. She's with Christ, which is far better. The family have asked me publicly to, Mr. Brown will thank others, but the family have asked me to publicly thank Reverend Brown for his faithfulness as a pastor to Eleanor. When he was there many times and sat on some occasions a long time with the family and prayed with them. We thank God for faithful men. But folks, it's a delight for me. I was just thinking, if Eleanor Gilmore wasn't a child of God, how would I ever pay tribute? The whole basis of what we're telling you now as we close is because of Christ, her Redeemer and her Savior and her friend. May the Lord bless Tommy, Laura, David and Mark and all the family. We want you to know today that we're praying for you, that the God of all comfort would comfort your hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to read from two passages of Scripture. The first is Psalm 46. There the word of the Lord tells us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The second passage I'd like to read from is John chapter 14, in the first 6 verses. Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." May the Lord bless his word to your hearts today.
I'd like to thank those that have taken part already, Reverend Harris representing the Mission Board, and the tribute paid by Reverend Trevor Baxter, and now the scripture readings by Reverend Paul Foster, who in my absence on holiday, and on other occasions too, when I was back on holiday, he still visited Eleanor very faithfully, and I know the family were much appreciative, as she was, of his many visits. We'll turn back to the order of service, to the second hymn, "Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb, Redeemed through His Infinite Mercy, His Child and Forever I Am." If you don't have, again, one of the hymn sheets, then in the hymn book in front of you, you'll find it at number 310. Hymn number 310, but let's stand to sing, and let's sound it out, "Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It."
Thank you.
As we turn to the Word of God again today, we are turning to maybe the only Bible passage that I could turn to this afternoon. Not that we couldn't preach right through Scripture, because Eleanor would have been very familiar with the Word of God beginning to end, but we're turning to Psalm 46. It was Eleanor's favorite. Some of her final words to the family were 46. And she was telling them that on my previous visit, that's what I had read, Psalm 46. In fact, I was preparing the notes for this message yesterday in the martyr's office behind us here, and the document on my screen, in the middle of the screen, there's the notes that I'm doing, but down the left-hand side, your computer, iMac, whatever, it'll pick up other computers around about. And it was picking up the college computer. And it was under the label of shared. It was telling me, you are sharing this laptop today with the main college computer. That main college computer, or the martyr's computer here, is labeled Eleanor Gilmore's iMac. Because when it appeared here, she set it up, installed the software, put her name to it. And it's been sitting in the church office ever since. And I almost felt as if, as I saw that on my screen, she's watching me, prompting me. Now make sure it's Psalm 46 tomorrow. So Psalm 46 it is. Psalm 46 was a phenomenal psalm as far as Martin Luther was concerned. We're thinking about his 500th anniversary in this year. It inspired him to write his most famous hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing." And on one occasion, when those enemies of his with great craft and power were closing in against him, he turned to his loyal and yet more fragile friend, Philip Melanchthon, and he tried to steal Melanchthon's nerve by urging him, "Come, let's sing the 46th Psalm and let the devil do his worst." Then when Luther had died, Melanchthon one day, that loyal friend, heard a young girl singing this psalm. And he said to her, "Sing on, dear daughter. You know not what comfort you're bringing to my heart." Today, we need comfort for our hearts. Another saint of the Lord, loyal friend and member of this congregation, has passed over to the other side safely, into promised glory and rest. And this psalm provides, I am convinced, the comfort we need. You'll find as you open it, in a few flourishes of poetic language, the psalmist here, David, in Psalm 46, he describes how you and I can deal with trouble. He begins by painting a picture of an earthquake. In verse 2, he talks about the earth being removed and the mountains carried into the midst of the sea. And sometimes trouble comes to people like this, with the sheer impact of an earthquake in our lives, without warning, with no way of resisting it, and suddenly we find that everything is dropping right out of the bottom of our lives. He uses another figure in Psalm 46 in verse 3. Talks about the fury of a storm. "Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled." And that kind of trouble is coming in with irresistible force. The moorings that you have in life, what you're clinging to, they're stretched and they're strained. And then you feel being swept away out of your comfort zones. The storm is up and billowing. Sometimes trouble comes not with the fissures of an earthquake or the fury of a storm, but with the force of a flood rolling in And so again in Psalm 46 and 3, David pushes that poetic pen through another flourish, and he writes, "Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." And the picture that he's painting is everything is shaking. This flood with its rising and now swelling waters is overwhelming absolutely everything in its wake. It carries much of what we hold dear in front of it and out of our reach. And that's often how we feel with the death of a family member. One who has been much loved, who has been pivotal and foundational in our lives. Their departure comes with the impact of an earthquake and a storm and a flood. All of these elements mixed together. What do we do when trouble comes? Three things are outlined for us in this Psalm 46. We back up to the opening verse of the Psalm, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We're being told God is a refuge for his people. When the storm is raging, when the foundations are moving, when everything around is shaking, the psalmist saying, don't stand there trying to argue against the flood. Don't try to argue with the storm. Don't try to rationalize when everything is shaking like an earthquake. Admit that you're beaten, that you have no resources sufficient in yourself, and head for Jesus Christ, who is the city of refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This Old Testament passage is personalized by what Jesus says in the New Testament. He encourages us in Matthew 11, the verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The pardon of salvation, justification found in Christ alone, provision for all of our sustenance, stabilization when our world is going upside down, found again alone in Jesus Christ. He is, if we were to explore the layers in verse 1 of Psalm 46, he is resolutely formidable. God is our refuge. He is thoroughly adequate. God is our refuge and strength. And he is readily accessible. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We're not talking in the abstract here. We're not talking about something that's pretty remote that you might or may not reach. Here is God right at our fingertips. That's what verse 1 implies. Our refuge and strength. Our refuge and strength, that is, a very present help in trouble. And so in our days of trouble and disquiet and sorrow and pain, here is the remedy. We cannot cope by ourselves. We must acknowledge Christ to be the refuge. He's the one who stands with open arms and he implores us, "Come to me with your burdens. Roll them upon me. Give me that problem and I promise to be what you need." Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So to him I go for safety. To him I go for salvation. To him I go for solace. To him I go for strength. And he is always available. How oft in the conflict sometimes we sing, when pressed by the foam, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my womb. How often, when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thy rock of my soul. God is a refuge for his people. Then a second source of help and comfort in the days of trouble is found in Psalm 46, verse 5. We could add 7, we could add 11 in as well. They cover similar ground. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. Verse 11 repeats that line in 7. They remind us, not only is God the refuge for his people, but God is resident with his people. Resident with his people. Tommy and Eleanor resided together for many years. And how they started towards this long journey of residing together is very interesting. They had apparently both been in attendance at the Coal Men's Mission. And they were both taking a similar road home. Tommy said to Eleanor, you know, I'm booked to speak in a meeting for the CWU on the Old Park Road. And he asked her, would she like to come with him? She promptly said to him, what's your name? But she did go with him. And she was accompanied to the rendezvous point at the City Hall by 4 old unmarried aunts. We lived along with her. That's why Tommy will often say that he had 5 mother-in-laws. She and Tommy shared a home together. If my maths is correct, for 46, there's that number again, 46 years. First in Erinvale, then in Rose Hill, Newton Ards. I'm sure Eleanor must have been attracted by the name as much as she was by the location, because she loved roses. Then on to Ringcreevy Road, Cumber, and finally Belgravia Road in Bangor. And their experience through all of that time living together in that married relationship was one of a deep love and unswerving devotion. Of course, Eleanor and Tommy knew personally a greater residence. The presence of the Lord with her, with them, and within her. And so could identify with Psalm 46 and 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early, the Lord of hosts is with us. From the day of her conversion to Christ at 6 years of age, she was led to saving faith in Christ through the witness of her Aunt Ethel, and right through her life, she experienced that overwhelming grace and overruling serenity of one who was living close to the Lord. And in fact, of one who, as his child, had the grace and the presence of God with her. God is in the midst of her. God shall help her. In Martin Luther's hymn, one of the lines says, Lord Sabaoth is his name. What does it mean? Well, it means the God of mighty armies, the Lord of hosts, the self-existent one who has at his beck and call incredible resources of power. And if we really believe this, and she did, that the God of power and purpose is alive for us, that he is traveling with us in the journey of life, then when the trouble comes in, as inevitably it does, our attitude and response to that trouble coming in is going to be different. We'll get the trouble into proper scale. It'll come into perspective here when we realize this Lord who is resident in my life is the God of power and the God of purpose, who is in charge of everything that will occur. And when you went to visit Eleanor, that's why she was so restful. And that's why in life she was so resolute. The Lord of hosts is with me. And so this 46th Psalm, it prompts us to recognize God is a refuge. He is a resident with us. Thirdly and finally, he sends a river, or even he is properly a river, to his people. God is the refreshment for his people. Psalm 46 and 4, there is a river. the screams were off, shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. And there's no doubt about it, God sends a river of blessing to his people. If you want to check out in this river, do a study of Ezekiel chapter 47, link it up with John 7, verse 37 to 39. They teach us that this river of God, it flows in the city of God, and it's a fabulous picture of the activity of the Holy Spirit of God. So what we're saying is this: for this day of trouble, when the mountains are shaking, when the waves are breaking around us, when those waters are swelling in flood tide, when this trouble comes, this glorious river is nothing less than the flow of the Spirit of God straight from the throne of God, and it brings refreshment wherever it flows. It is a river that makes glad the people of God. How does it do that? Well, the Spirit of God always directs us to the Word of God, and into the Word of God, to the Christ of God, to Jesus Christ. So when we are going through trouble, the Spirit of God highlights those beautiful passages in the Bible that will thrill our hearts. From Eleanor Gilmore's home flowed little streams of blessing. For many years, she made her own cards, all lovingly crafted, complete with appropriate Bible verses. And to many who received them, they have been carefully retained. Those cards carried blessings to others because the Spirit of God, first of all, had made the Word of God on them speak to her. Bless Eleanor's heart. Live for her. Encourage her, strengthen her. And then she directed that refreshing flow of that river into the lives of others. That's how the river of God makes glad the city of God. Tell me, does it mean that to you? Do you read the Bible? Better still, do you let it read you? Do you let it challenge you, convict you, convert you, change you, cleanse you, comfort you? What do you do in trouble? I see God is my refuge, as Eleanor did. I see God is a resident. I see God is this river. And the effect that has on the child of his love is it makes us still. Still's the word that's used here in Psalm 46 and 10. It means peace. In the middle of the storm, relaxed, restful, even rejoicing. That's how Eleanor Gilmore is today. Her body is here. Over her passing, we grieve, and rightly so. But her spirit has taken its flight. Has discovered the truth of what she has known for many, many years, that in heaven, the city of God, the river is still flowing. Revelation 22 makes the point. And you're here on a conducted tour of heaven, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and off the Lamb. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and they shall reign forever and ever. Soon we'll come to the end of life's journey. Perhaps we'll never meet anymore, till we gather in heaven's bright city, far away on that beautiful shore. If we never meet again, this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place. Over there in heaven, by the side of the river of life, where the charming roses bloom forever. If there are no roses there now, Eleanor will have them planted before we arrive there. Where the charming roses bloom forever. But here's the key. Where separations come no more. If we never meet again this side of heaven, may I meet you on that beautiful shore. And I will. If you come the way that Eleanor has come, Jesus is the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you haven't yet come to him, run to him for salvation. He is the refuge for your soul. He will take up residence within you. And he will be that river that supplies your every need. We'll turn back to the order of service, to your hymn sheet if you have one, that final hymn. It's 592 in the hymn book, hymn number 592. There's a land that is fairer than day. By faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Let me thank every one of you for coming along today. That is so appreciated by ourselves, very appreciated by the family. We'd like to extend thanks also, because it's very due, to the McDermott unit in the Ulster Hospital and to Marie Curie, who have provided over Eleanor's long illness excellent sustained care. And we really do, on behalf of the family and ourselves, thank you very much today. There will be the interment at Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church Cemetery immediately after this service. But if you cannot be at that, then tea is provided upstairs if you make your way to the top floor of the building, level 2 in a lift, the stairs as far as you can go on the stairs behind the pulpit here. There will be tea provided for those that can go to Ballygowan and then come back. There will still be tea for you. After we sing, Brother Reverend Stanley Barnes, again a close family friend, one who visited regularly Eleanor in her illness, will be leading us in prayer and closing in the benediction. There's a land that is fairer than day. Let's stand together, please, again as we sing. Thank you.
Saturday night, I received a phone call from my brother Tommy. He was just home from Romania at 12 Saturday morning, and Tommy reminded me, informed me that Eleanor was far from well. And I said then, I think I'll just go on up and see her now. And when we were there, and just after an hour, at 25 past 11, Eleanor passed into the presence of the Lord. And immediately I was reminded, as I watched her there, breathing her very last, I was reminded of the words of the psalmist, that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And her death was very, very special. She knew the peace of forgiven sin. She knew the presence of a faithful Savior. And she knew the prospect of a full salvation, where she could say, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. And we thank God for the grace and the glory that was present even in that moment. C.H. Spurgeon said that the last step of a Christian is his best one, because it takes him right into the presence of the Lord. So we comfort one another today, and we rejoice that precious in the sight of the Lord, Tommy, is the death of his saints. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank the Lord for this service of thanksgiving in the Savior's name. We do bless thee that thou art the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the God of all comfort. We bless thee for the comfort, Lord, of the Scriptures and of thy word through thy servant. And I would thank the Lord when we face the storms and the earthquakes of life, that, Lord, we have that assurance that God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in the time of trouble. And our Father, we do pray that you'll take your word and apply it especially to the hearts of the family today, that they might know the comfort of the Scriptures, and that your word will be a rod and a staff to comfort them even in the valley of the shadow. Our Lord, we rejoice today that we sorrow not as those who have no hope. And as our brother Baxter reminded us, that we're not saying goodbye. We're only saying good night, Eleanor. Hallelujah. We'll meet you in the morning in the land that is fair than day. And so, Lord, we just pause to thank thee for the triumph of the grace of God in her sister's life that saved her and sustained her even to the very last. And we pray now, Lord, that as we part from God's house and journey to the graveside, Lord, that further grace will be given to the family, the grace of acceptance, that they'll be able to say that the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Yes. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now we pray that the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will be upon those who love the Lord Christ now and forevermore. Hear our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.